It's the same energy they have for me.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And I'm going to have the same energy for them.
I will just say this one last thing on Kyrie Irving.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He did shut them up.
Irving's got a three on the way. Down for Kyrie Irving.
You shut them up with your play.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Rams linebacker Bobby Wagner. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell, plus Falcons head coach Arthur Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Sources say, can confirm. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Bobby Wagner's here. Okay.
Yes.
We always had him on as a Seattle Seahawk. He was always on the phone. I guess all it took for him to actually show up here in person was for he and the Seahawks to shockingly finally separate, and now he's a Los Angeles Ram here playing behind Aaron Donald in front of Jalen Ramsey. So much to talk about with the future Hall of Famer, and we've got two National Football League head coaches on today as well. Kevin O'Connell, now of the Minnesota Vikings, formerly of the Los Angeles Rams, and also our friend Arthur Smith from the Atlanta Falcons. He'll be joining us, those guys, in hours two and three. Lots of football on the brain here on NBC Sports on Peacock, NBC Sports Sirius XM Channel 85. We say hello to our terrestrial radio listeners, our podcast listeners, both on the Cumulus network of terrestrial radio stations and podcast network, Odyssey listeners streaming us in their ear gate, and then anything that you miss, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We're a four wide, and the regulars are here. Christopher Brockman, how are you, sir?
Great, Rich. What's up?
DJ Mikey D, as in D's nuts. How are you? Good to see you, Mike Del Tufo. TJ Jefferson, light the candle.
We got a Brett Michaels candle today, Rich.
Oh,
so,
you know, yeah. Terrific.
It's smelling lovely.
Well, it's not like goop, is it? Where you, is it anything about Brett? That,
like body part wise?
No, I don't know. Are we tanning anything? I have no idea.
Nothing like that.
Work in blue. Start. I'm wearing a blue.
It's the unskinny bop candle.
I'm wearing a blue sport coat. Feeling good. Hey,
looking
listen,
good, Billy
listen,
Ray.
Listen. I told y'all day one of this season. This is a Golden State Warriors season. I said that. Look, I want to pay respect to you, sir, in the corner. Yes. TJ Jefferson, Joel Embiid playing like an MVP. And I thought the Raptors would give the Sixers a series. So far, two games in, it's not at all. The Sixers played so well, they even had a blowout in a Gus Johnson called basketball game.
Right. That's the only
that
disappointment.
Happen?
The only disappointment.
Happen? How does that happen? I'm going to go positive that the Raptors didn't ruin a Gus Johnson game. The Sixers just wrecked the buffet, okay? and they look terrific, and now they have to go up to Toronto, and of course, Tybal will not be there, but Tyrese Maxey's arrived. When James Harden got acquired, I'm like, I think this is going to unlock Maxey. And the three of them, Embiid, Maxey, Harden, look out. And then
My boy Harris.
And then, oh, sure, Tobias Harris, too. I'm just pointing out what I thought would be the threesome. And in terms of some points and rebounds and what have you, Joel Embiid, 31-11 last night. Nicely done. So, and then the Mavericks. Congratulations to you and to the fan base, the Mavericks. Jalen Brunson, hello.
Jeez.
Okay, jeez. 41 piece last night, a 40 burger last night. Just when you thought that the Jazz would take advantage of another Luka Doncic Mavericks night, the Mavs get 41 from their dynamic young player, and they even the series up. They made 22 from three. That's a franchise postseason record. They were filling it up.
Crazy.
And that's the way to beat Rudy Gobert. Shoot over him. And 110-104, the final there. But I like talking about my Warriors.
Oh, boy.
My Warriors.
Oh, boy, Chris.
I said before the season, Warriors over Nets.
You did?
Yes, I did.
He did.
Did he?
Yeah.
I sure did. Okay. Into this microphone, in this chair, on this show. And you know, Curry's hurt, and who knows? They finished just the three seed. Suns look great. They got the coach of the year. We all think locked up. Memphis Grizzlies. You know, who knows? They're the two seed. They're that young and up and coming team, and all so on and so forth. But how about my guy Jordan Poole? Jordan Poole, Jordan Poole, baby. Finishes up with 29 last night to follow up his 30-point game in his playoff debut. Do you know there's only two gentlemen who have ever put on a Golden State Warriors uniform who scored more than 25 points in each of their first two career playoff games. One is named Jordan Poole. The other's name is Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh,
Wilt Chamberlain.
Heard of him.
Wow. Okay.
Jordan Poole just put his name next to Wilt Chamberlain in a scoring record. And we'll leave it at that. Because Jordan Poole is all that in a biscuit. He has, as I said yesterday, zero chill. And he is coming at you, and he's getting better. He's getting better. He is a budding superstar in this league. Yeah. A budding superstar in this league. And what a huge night for him last night, especially since Steph Curry was out hurt. And hold on a minute. I'm being told, no, Curry came off the bench again. Okay, hold on a minute.
Genius.
Mm. Curry comes off the bench again.
I love it.
And all he does is come up with the first game in his career of playing fewer than 25 minutes in a game and scoring more than 30. He's never done that. And he did it last night. Minutes restriction, my you know what. Go and tan those. 34 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 block, 1 steal, 20 of 17 shooting. That's the best field goal percentage shooting night of his playoff career.
Wow.
I'm not done yet, guys.
Keep going, Rich.
I'm not done yet, guys. There's a new lineup in the National Basketball Association that's one big ball of trouble. Because Andrew Wiggins made the All-Star game this year as well. And Klay Thompson's back, and he's just, everything he does is now gravy. It's not like you got to have it, need it, must have it. It's nice to have it. It's cherry on top. Poole, Wiggins, Curry, Green, and Klay Thompson. First two games. You know they've been on the floor just 10 minutes? You know that? 42-14 they've outscored the Nuggets when they've been on the floor. And let's just go with the new triplet. I'm sorry to do this to anybody that I'm leaving out, especially Draymond Green, who's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Klay, Curry, and Poole together. First two games, 149 points combined. 56% from the field, 51% from three, 26 of 51. In less than 20 minutes of time last night, when they all got on the floor together, they blew the doors off the Denver Nuggets, and then an MVP got so pissed, he got the gate. My Warriors. Look out. Guys, look out. It's a problem. It's a problem.
Well,
I know.
Well, you gloating for that? Yeah.
That's definitely a problem. No, He's right about that. It's been a problem.
No, it's a problem. And I know there will be some matchups let's say they play Embiid, right? When they get to, you know, at some point, we're assuming for them, knock on whatever, DeAndre Ayton. What's going to happen, okay, when you got some big grown-ass man right there in the middle and you're sending out Draymond Green to go cover him because he's the tallest guy on the court?
They got Looney.
Well, I'm not saying they can't match up with them. I'm saying what happens when you have to match up with them an extended period of time. What happens if the shooting's a little off and the other team gets to dictate? That's going to be the Warriors' problem over a 7-game series if that happens. But right now, oh, baby.
Would you say Poole's your favorite player? And
huh?
Would you say Jordan Poole's your favorite player right now?
Right now? Mm-hmm. Of course, because he's a Wolverine who's dominating, and I was right about him. Put them all together and a guy in this position? Oh, yes. And just, again, you thought, okay, Curry's a little banged up. Klay hasn't played in a while, right? And then how are you going to put it all together? How are you going to, where are you going to get some of the scoring when these guys go on the bench? What's going to happen? And Jordan Poole arrives and says, I'm a superstar too. Who would have thought the Warriors with Curry and Klay and Draymond all together, you'd thought the Warriors, that would have to be the core from which they win a championship. And the other players, right? You need a bench.
Yeah.
Who would have thought the Warriors would add another superstar? And you thought it would be Wiseman. You choose a guy first overall, right? Get it? Second overall, top pick? Your first overall pick? That's the guy. He, of course, is going to be a superstar. No, it's Jordan Poole. Hey, now, look out. I'm so psyched for the dub, for the Dubs and the Warrior fans and all of us who get to watch Jordan Poole still do it. And Jokic gets the gate. He gets set down. Nuggets are just wondering what the hell has hit them. So, lots to talk about on this program. Certainly when you've got two National Football League head coaches. Certainly when you've got NFL programs, off-season workout programs, up and running. Kevin O'Connell of Vikings, and also Arthur Smith of the Atlanta Falcons. Another top-notch wide receiver has apparently messed with his Instagram bio, causing everybody to wonder if there's a problem between him and his team. We'll talk about that on this show. And you at 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. But we've got a hell of an in-studio guest. Hell of an in-studio guest. Because he is a hellraiser of the first variety. And he's going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he's now here in Los Angeles behind Aaron Donald. Number 45 in your program. Number one in the new Los Angeles Rams heart. And it puts a dagger in the heart of Seahawks fans. Bobby Wagner in studio, in person. Lots to talk about with him when we come back. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. I am genuinely excited to introduce my in-studio guest here because I am a huge fan of his, and I will stop talking about him as if he is not sitting here. But you know how I feel about you, Bobby Wagner. Good to see you here, man, on the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm excited to be in person on the show.
Yes.
Instead of being on the phone. So it's nice. Nice to be in person.
Yeah. Sure. All it took was you leaving the Seattle Seahawks and coming to Los Angeles Rams.
I'm just finding all the positives in this. So this is definitely positive. Sure.
Well, let's just walk through all of this. I mean, your head must still be spinning a little bit, I'd imagine, based on everything that's happened over the last few weeks. No or yes?
No, it's kind of settling down now. I think initially when everything happened, it was, like I said, I always thought I was going to be in Seattle forever. I thought, you watch guys like Ray Lewis and those guys play their whole career with one team. That was my vision. And, when it didn't happen, you had to take a moment to realize you're not in Seattle anymore. Then you had to figure out where you're going to go. And then, when I ended up coming to L.A., I thought it was nice because I was still going to be close to Seattle and be in front of fam for the first time since, I think, high school. So it worked out for me.
So let's take it one piece at a time then.
Yeah.
The leaving Seattle thing, that thing.
Yeah.
Took you by surprise, Bobby?
It did take me by surprise because I felt like, I understood that there was going to be some changes And I knew that things were going to look a lot different. And I knew me and Russ were the last ones that kind of been able to last from that Super Bowl team. And, you know, I thought there was going to be like a conversation just to let me know, but it didn't happen that way. And so when I saw Russ kind of leave, I knew that there was a chance that my time there was coming to an end as well.
So that Tuesday, it was a wild day when Russ departs to go to Denver. Did you get any heads up about that, or you just learned about that too?
Well, no, I knew about it. The funny thing was, you know, he actually called me a few days before, maybe even a week before, and just, you know, asked me what was my thoughts about going there. And I was just like, I don't have any thoughts. Like my heart is in Seattle, so I ain't really went that far. And so I knew that it was really close for him to call me and kind of to ask me a question like that.
Specific to going to Denver, is a specific location?
Specifically.
And that happened in like February or something like that?
No, it happened like, I'm not sure the exact time, but it happened before it happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew there was a chance that was going to happen. So I was just like, okay, well, he's probably leaving.
Yes. So,
he's probably leaving. So I should probably get prepared for sure.
Right. So, and then it happens, and that's when it might, you know, it starts to hit you like you could be next. Is that
no?
That
day, I kind of heard rumblings before. I heard, you know, because I'm really close with all the players. I'm really close with some agents. I'm really close with some guys in the media, and so I think it. I really started to get an idea when the combine hit, because I just heard a lot of stuff, and so you know, when Russ hit. I was having a conversation with DK, and I was talking with Quandre, and they were just kind of telling me some of the things that they were hearing. And so I just thought it was wise for me to pick up the phone and call Pete and John to see if some of the things that I was hearing was true.
And did you connect with them?
Yeah, I got in contact with them. They wanted me to come out there in person, but I just was kind of like, I already knew what was going to be said. I knew what was about to happen. So,
I know this is tough for you to talk about, and I appreciate you being, you know, talking about it here, because I saw on your Twitter account, I mean, that this thing lit up. You were like, you learned about it on TV before you heard about it from them. You played there 10 years. Crazy part about it, I didn't even hear it from them, and that I wasn't coming back.
I just felt like they, you know, we could have went about it, the situation a little bit differently. I felt like we could have had a conversation, and I felt maybe because I was my own agent and I was representing myself, that it was a hard conversation to say, like, hey, you know, we thinking about letting you go or thinking about trading you or anything like that. But, you know, I feel like we've been, you know, I've had hard conversations with them for 10 years. Like, we've been a part, you know, of each other's lives for 10 years. And so, whether I had an agent or whether, you know, there was a middleman, I still would have felt the same way if I didn't hear from them directly, because I was just in the building. I was there. Like, I was just, you know, I don't live that far from the facility, so I'm constantly there in the building all the time. But, you know, I think they think I have this, like, hatred in my heart, or, like, I feel some type of way about them or hate them or anything like that. It's not that. I just felt like they didn't handle it. I addressed that with them. I told them how I felt about it. And, you know, I think both parties moved on. I don't have no ill feelings towards mm-hmm. Pete, towards John, towards Jody. I have no ill feelings towards them. So it's one of those things where, you know, me understanding the business, I understood it. But I felt like with certain guys, you should have had a conversation. Like, I had to approach them to confirm.
And then that's when they say, hey, why don't you come in? And at that point in time, you're saying that.
Yeah, we were supposed to have a meeting, but I knew the answer. I knew what they were going to say already. So I was like, why? I wasn't in town. So I was like, why would I get on the plane for you to tell me what I already know? And so I was just like, let's do it now. Let's not wait. Like, why would we wait if I already know I've heard from everybody else. So
Bobby Wagner here, 8-time Pro Bowler here on the Rich Eisen Show, now with the Los Angeles Rams. Why do you represent yourself? Why do you do that?
Because I feel like, you know, football is just a window in my life that I have so much more. And when I got into the league, I realized that a lot of guys don't think about that. A lot of guys don't prepare for life at the football. So when they get done, they don't know what to do with themselves. And we've been so focused on this one particular thing for so long that, you know, when you get done, it's very hard to make that transition. So when I got into the league, you know, I watched guys like Marshawn. I watched guys like Sidney Rice. I watched those guys like prepare. And as they transitioned to life after football, it was just, it was amazing. So it inspired me. So I knew that business was one of the things that I wanted to get into. So I started to do like different internships in the off season. I started meeting different people in Seattle just to kind of pick their brains. And then I felt like representing myself in my field was the closest thing that I can get to business without actually like leaving football to go actively do it. And so, so I started pursuing it. So after my second deal, I think in like 2014, give or take, I picked up the CBA, I read it. And then I started just learning, meeting with different people, studying, preparing myself. And I knew like my next contract, I was going to do it myself. And I felt like that was going to prepare me for life after football.
Well, I mean, it certainly can prepare you in different ways for, I guess, the realities of this business for sure. And I mean, I'm more of a verbal guy. I'm not a number guy at all. I honestly don't know how you're doing it. Yeah. You know, like I don't know how to even figure out what, you know, cap number and how you can work it so you know that you will be on a roster as opposed to leaving yourself open to getting cut because your money isn't certain guaranteed and know where that is in terms of the cap 2 years from now and 3 years from now and what the roster composition is. Yeah. I mean, that is while you're deciding also the football pluses and minuses of going where you're going to go. I don't know how you do it, Bobby.
I think it exposes you. It exposes you to different things. I think this contract is definitely, or the NFL contracts is different because, like you said, in different fields, your money is your money. Like it's once you negotiate your deal, no matter what it is, you know it's coming. But the NFL is a little bit different because, you know, you can negotiate a contract, but there's different, you know, provisions in there that gets the team out of the deal if they want to get out of the deal. And so, like I said, I feel like if I can learn this contract, I think a lot of the other contracts out there would be not easy, but, you know, it gives my foundation a better chance to have successful deals life after football.
So you're going through your free agency, right?
Yep.
And how many teams did you end up chit-chatting with?
Bobby? I had to, honestly, I had to reach out to all of them because
you
I had
did.
To.
You're the one who called.
I sent a text. So NFLPA had this like, you know, I guess like when agents do it or when teams do it, the GMs have the list of all the players and next to the player's name is agent. So I'm pretty sure my name was blank. So I got a list of all the GMs and I text them and just let them know that I was still representing myself and this is how they could reach me. And so I talked with a few that day when some of them text back that first day. And then a lot of them had to, I guess they had to check to see if that was actually me. Like they was like, I had a couple of them text me the next day, like, hey, like, sorry for the late response. We had to confirm. We thought this was a joke. Like we didn't think that, that you were actually texting us from your cell phone. And so
did somebody ask like a question? Like when I once upon a time met you at the combine, what did you say to this answer?
They just was like up front. They were like, yeah, like we didn't think we had to confirm the identity of this text message before we responded.
That's amazing.
And I didn't even think about that. I just thought like, you know, you get a text message from me, you're just going to assume it's me. But I forgot that, you know.
There's crazy people in the world, Bobby Wagner. There are crazy people.
Which is kind of funny, though, because the alternative of that, I had got some text messages or phone calls like, hey, yo, like, we're interested. And I'm just like, this sounds like a little kid on the phone. But, like, I had to answer every phone call.
Sure,
you know what I mean? Because you don't know. I didn't have every GM's number saved. And so I'm answering all the phone calls, and I get one from – and as soon as the person says, like, hey, we're interested in signing you, and I'm like, this is a little kid. There's no way this is a
well, it's maybe somebody from the analytics department. I don't know.
Yeah,
just
who knows?
Reaching out
nah,
to start the
they still they didn't have no pitch in their voice, for sure. They definitely like 12 years old.
Would you say talk to Bill? Is that what you're saying?
Did you
he's
talk
a
to Bill?
He's a
come
Patriot
on.
Fan over
on,
there.
I didn't talk to Bill.
God dang it.
I have so much respect for Bill, though. I think it's mutual, though.
Of course.
Coach Belichick.
Oh, I know that, for sure. I'm sure it's mutual. But you could tell what Jerry Jones sounds like, right?
I mean,
you could
for sure. I'm just saying, like, there's certain people you know what their voice sound like. But this person I knew he didn't know the first thing about being.
Because that was the first thing I thought of is that Dan Quinn is in Dallas. You and Dan Quinn obviously were on the same team, you know, winning championship together, and that was going to be the place that you wound up. Was that?
Yeah, we had a conversation. You're right. He was one of the first people that that reached out, and we had a lot of conversations. But you know, they couldn't. They didn't really figure it out. You know, from a financial situation, but also they had other needs that they wanted to address first, and they addressed those needs.
Okay, I know you're looking directly at me, but I'm seeing past you to my guy TJ Jefferson, okay, who's a diehard Cowboy fan. He is so upset right now. He just heard you say.
Hey, you know, it's crazy though, because like, so you know, I'm not really active like so much on social media, but every single day, like, I was getting hit up by Dallas fans and telling me like, where I could eat, where I could live, who's been there, how nice would it be to have a star on the top of your helmet. It was.
I'm sorry was for funny. Bothering you, Bobby, all those tweets. That was
@2Jiggy. Were any from @2Jiggy?
No, I didn't get no @2Jiggy. Yeah.
I got a bunch of burners. I apologize.
Yeah. You know,
we just really wanted you.
That's funny.
So when did the Rams come into the picture, Bobby? When did that happen?
Rams was kind of always in the picture, to be honest, because, you know, obviously we play each other a lot. And so and they know I'm from Cali. So they reached out early on, too. But it was the same thing for a minute. They were trying to figure out they had certain needs that they wanted to address and things of that nature. And I was in a position where I was patient. I wasn't like in a rush to try to sign somewhere, because I knew, like, I'm hoping that, you know, wherever I sign next was going to be the place that I spent majority of my career as I, you know, wind this thing down. So I wanted to take my time and make sure that I picked the right place, and, you know, who doesn't want to come home?
Of course, no question about that.
And I get to be on the Rich Eisen show like every week.
This is the cherry on top.
I mean, you could just put Rich and then just put Bobby right
at
there.
At B Wags?
Yeah, like Tuesday guest spot? I mean, I'm just saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
whatever.
Tuesday.
Listen, look, you're welcome here anytime. And now you also remember what LA traffic is. It's, you know, sometimes Rams are like, well, I'm like, they want a helicopter to come from Thousand Oaks.
This is very true. Because
I was about to say, Seattle was getting
pretty bad too, though.
Understood.
Seattle was getting nothing matches California.
No, I know that.
Because it could be midnight. And you might get stuff in
traffic. It's a time insensitive roadway, that 405.
Yeah,
it doesn't
sure.
matter what time it is. I understand. Did Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, anybody call you up and say?
Yeah, they reached out. I mean, as soon as I got released, I think AD was the first person,
was
one of the
not?
First players, yeah,
of
to reach out.
He was.
And Jalen was like shortly after him. So
I can't imagine what he, Aaron Donald, will be able to do in front of you and you behind him. I cannot even imagine how, you know, his job to take up space, to apply pressure, to stop the run on the way to the quarterback, how great he is. For you now to be behind him is downright scary.
I'm excited. Like, I'm excited just thinking about it, because I again, he's a guy that I've watched, you know, for a lot of years, because we play each other so much. And, you know, I watch film on him too. And so I see the way that he plays and moves and things like that, and how he takes up blocks. And, you know, I know that I'd be able to read off of that and play off of that really well. So just the idea of being able to do that, and it's not just him. Like, there's so many different weapons on that D-line.
Right.
And, you know, to be able to play behind that and, you know, read and feel and get into a flow, it's going to be crazy.
Chris, you have the NFL rule book in front of you. Is this fair?
Stand by.
Is that, can you look this up?
It is fair. I looked.
Yeah, Section 8, sub A.
Is this fair?
It's not fair.
Article
not fair.
45.
Yeah, Article 45.
That's right. Well, you know your business. I mean, yeah. We're
Article 45,
like, we're
so it all good.
Doesn't seem fair.
It doesn't. It does not seem fair.
Although as a Rams season ticket holder, very happy to have you here. Very happy to have you here, Bobby.
I'm not applauding and I'm angry.
Okay? I'm just a Cowboy fan.
We played Dallas this year, too, I think.
Oh, gee, Bobby.
I'm just making sure.
You know? Well, I know you play twice. I mean, I know Seahawks fans, what they feel about you, how they feel about you in particular. You know, and this is not a slight against Russ at all. I mean, he's Russell Wilson. But when he went, it kind of was, if you will, expected. I think the fan base had been seeing what was the conversation or reading tea leaves. And you were a totally different story, though. The fact that you I've spoken to so many Seahawks fans that when you were the one to be cut later on, that on top of the Russ leaving same day, very difficult. I think this is going to be a very difficult process for them. What about you going back up there? What are you thinking about?
I think the feeling's mutual. I think we both, from the fan base to myself, expected myself to be there the whole time. That's been the conversation up until, you know, I left. Even from the management. The management was always like, man, this is the one that's going to play his whole career there. And I wanted that. You know, I never wanted to leave. You know, so I felt that through the community because I live out there. So, you know, when I would go to the grocery store, when I go out, like, people would, like, come up to me and tell me, like, you know, how they felt. And so I definitely appreciated the love, you know, after that time and even before that time. But, two, it's like it's something, you know, I think it was unfortunate that, you know, the way my career ended in Seattle, it ended off of an injury. And, you know, I was looking forward to, you know, I'm fully healthy coming back and you know, not letting that be the last play that on the field. And so, you know, it won't be the last play on the field. I just will be in a different jersey.
So why do you think it had to end? Why do you think this happened in Seattle? Not just you, but Russ. Is there something you could share with the Seahawks fans who are sitting there saying why?
I'm not sure. I hadn't had a conversation with Pete or John on what was their reasoning, why or why they wanted to do what they did. They just kind of just flat out just told me, and then we just moved on from the conversation. But if I'm knowing the business, I'm assuming they just want to go young, and they want to get younger, and they feel like that's the way. And so
why Russ? Anything you can share with that, with Russ?
I'm not sure. Russ got to speak on that, and they got to speak on, you know, Russ and Pete and those guys got to speak on, you know, what happened on their side. I can only speak on my side.
What about DK Metcalf? Do you think he's next to go?
I don't think that'll be wise. I think I don't know what their plan is. You know, I used to be there all the time, and we would have a lot of conversations, so I could be able to kind of let you know what they were thinking from that standpoint. But I'm not there no more, so I just think it wouldn't be wise to let somebody that amazing, that talented, you know, a growing leader in not only the building but a community, to let him go as well. And it would just be very, very hard for that Seattle fan base. So I'm hoping that they do the right thing with him and you know, he stays there and he continues to excel. He's an amazing, amazing, talented player, but you know, even more talented and amazing person off the field. Like, when you get to know him as he opens up, like, he's gonna be so good for that community. So, you know, I hope that community and the fan base get to enjoy him, you know, for a long time.
Before I let you go, Bobby Wagner, in that chair just about, what, 3 weeks ago, Ray Lewis sat in it, and your name came out of his mouth, and he spoke glowingly of you, and you guys connect every yep. now and then. He talked yep. about how you guys connect, and also one of the things that I know this about Ray, but I think a lot of folks who heard him talk, just his knowledge of the game mm-hmm. and the X's and O's and how he would match wits with Brady and yeah. Peyton Manning yeah. and things of that nature, and how he would know the play before they would call it, and he knew that they knew that he would know it, and that he would deliver the punishment to the player that he knew was going to be targeted, and yeah. they knew it too, and that's the sort of thing. Do you have that situation with a quarterback in the league today that you can kind of lay it out for me, that sort of knowledge of the game inside here, Bobby
Wagner?
Well,
I think the difference between, like, with Ray, like, he played Peyton Manning all the time. He right. played guys like Tom Brady all the time. you know, I think our division has been different because the quarterbacks in our division have constantly kind of switched out. You know, Matt Stafford just got there.
Yep.
Kyler Murray, you know, just got there not too long ago. And so I feel like there's definitely moments, you know, because of that, because of him, you know, guys like him, and just him being willing to open up. You know, when I reached out to him, I can't remember when I reached out to him. It was a while ago. We met in person, mm-hmm. and then I got his phone number and I reached out to him. Like he's always been so open, with everything. Like,
what is he telling you? What do you think what has he downloaded you with the most?
Man, here? I'm just picking his brain on everything. Like I've always known that about him. He knows mm-hmm. the play before it comes. And, you know, I've asked him, like, watch film. We've watched film, you know, we've taken notes, we've worked out before, together. And so, how he's handled me is made me want to be that same way with the guys that's coming after me, because, you know, he was like my Jordan, you know, watching like growing up, like he was mm-hmm. the guy that I watched, you know, playing, and I wanted to be like him, and I wanted to, you know, prepare the way that he prepared. And so, to get the opportunity to have him sit down with me and kind of break down film or break down how he broke down the game and the level of discipline that it takes to play at a high level for 17 years, you know, it's just crazy. And so, you know, I try to inspire to be that same way, and to have a guy like that be open and you know, willing to give that information out. He's definitely helped me. It's like, from a studying aspect, there are moments where I'm just like, I know the play, I know where it's coming, and I just go get it. And it's from the film study. But it's also from, you know, older guys like that and so many others that have shared their knowledge of the game with me. And I'm hoping I do the same as I can continue to grow.
I guess a couple follow-up questions on that then. Who are the guys in the game today? Do you think that you could be able to mentor in that guy? Who are the linebackers?
It's a lot of them, man. You know, Darius Leonard, Devin White.
He's so good.
Fred Warner, Roquan Smith. It's so many of them. I know I'm going to leave some of them out. You know, I like watching Eric Kendricks play. There's so much good linebacker play, and I really enjoy where the position is elevated to, because we are the quarterbacks of the defense, and we are the guys that kind of set everything up majority of the times. And so, you know, to be in that position and to have the world start to see, like, this is how, like, you know, we run the defense, you know, for the most part. Most defenses, you know, they're ran by the middle linebacker. And so to have those guys, you know, be performing at such a high level, it's amazing to watch.
Well, and then the quarterback that I was –
Micah Parsons, too. I don't know if he's kind of going all over the place.
He
but
is. Yeah, I
– He's
and,
a special
and
one,
And he
too.
Was here. He was here, too. And
I saw he was in the chair and everything.
He took my chair.
Yeah, yeah.
He took my chair. You know, it's okay.
I like it. It's cool. I won't do that the first one. I'll wait for the second or third.
That sounds fine, Bobby. That sounds fine. And the quarterback, you know, that you mentioned, obviously, that they're different in the division now. So then the one that I would think that you would have a history with because you played some big games against would be Aaron Rodgers, maybe, right?
Yeah,
would that
yeah,
be?
Yeah,
like, what's that like going against him?
It's just a, you know, he is so fun to play against because he really makes you make sure you're on your game, you know, not just from like a physical standpoint, but a mental standpoint. And two, like, I always like playing against the Rams because, like, they watch stuff that I do on film, and I know they're going to put it in the next game. And so there was, like, one particular game where I, like, when we were playing the Rams, like, whenever they motioned the running back out or kind of ran them out, I knew they weren't throwing them the ball. And I kind of didn't really play it any because I knew they weren't going there.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time we played them, I knew they saw that. And so I was like, all right, they're going to run a running back screen at some point. And so that kind of, like, chess moves where it's like it may not happen this game, but it'll happen the next game.
And you remember and so it, and you know they've seen it, and you know
I remember. I know they've seen it. I'm like, knowing them, I know they've seen that. I know they know they didn't throw to that running back, and I wasn't even acknowledging it because I knew they weren't going to throw it. I knew going into that next game they were going to find a way to put that in there just to have me play it honest. And so that's something, but Aaron Rodgers does that too. He's able to read the defense. He's able to, no matter how much you disguise, no matter how much you move around, like, he's able to read everything. And the thing that he don't get enough credit for, in my opinion, is his ability to escape. Like, not people, like, he won't go for like 60 yards, but he'll sneak in and get a couple first downs that extends the drive. And you know, he's still a master at looking people off. And so he's a person I enjoy playing against whenever I get the opportunity.
He's the king of reaching the ball out, too, to get an extra yard as he's running.
Too. For sure. And for sure. You try to swipe it away, you know.
I know.
Kyler Murray does that as well.
I know. So what'd you say over there, Chris?
Bobby, we wore 54 forever in Seattle, but that's already taken in L.A. Are you going to change your number this year? Have you figured that out yet?
Yeah, I'm going to go with 45. I just figured I'd just flip it.
All right. There it is.
There it goes. Really, it wasn't really about 54. 54 was never really the number. The number was really 9. I only wore numbers that equal 9. And so I wore 9 in college. And then when I came out for the Senior Bowl, I wore 45. And then at that time, they weren't letting linebackers wear 40 numbers. And so I went to 54 just because it equaled 9. And so now that it's taken, I just flipped it. It still equals 9.
You don't want to talk to I'm Matt Stafford happy. About maybe taking number 9.
Yeah, 99.
Yeah.
I mean, this is only option.
I think it's just, you know, it's a new start. We start fresh. 45. I'm back in L.A. like Jordan. I'm wearing Jordan. Oh. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We're Jordan. I'm not saying I'm Jordan. I'm not saying I'm Jordan.
All right.
You know, little wow. Jay-Z reference. We're in L.A.
You know.
Come on, man.
It's returning just, coastal Ontario.
It's you know? L.A., Ontario, all that.
Okay.
Bobby shout out to Colony High it. School.
Okay, there we go.
He's epic, home. Epic first appearance, I think.
Well, in person.
In person.
First of many times.
Next time, I'm going to come in the suit, yep. And then you come in the Jordan gear.
Yes.
And then we're going to flip-flop.
Okay, sounds good.
So
that's it. Sign me up.
This well, you want the Jordan gear, not well, yeah. You're like, you think it's wasted on me.
Well, I mean, definitely. You said that.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking.
I mean, I'm wearing Jordans every day, Rich, and I hope that somebody will give us a deal. Well, they ain't gave us a deal yet, but
it's a slow and steady.
I mean, but I think we got somebody that's with brand Jordan that could maybe.
Hey, Bobby, and also. Hey.
That's everybody. I don't know. You know, hey. Maybe.
Bobby,
I don't know.
These guys are like, when is it the Bobby Wagner show?
Hey, Bobby Wagner, you're also now part of a Sports Emmy nominated show now that you're part of the Rich Eisen. Show, so okay. I feel like that wouldn't make sense for us all to have the same
all
gear.
Just celebrate, yeah.
So he's joining a big Super Bowl winning team. He's joining an Emmy Award nominated show.
One love, Rich. Very good.
So I'm saying, just look at all the positivities that came from this situation.
That's great. Did we you know become new best friends? I think we did.
That's 100%.
Yeah,
easy.
I think we became easy.
And then I just, you know, like I said, just put a little, you know, Bobby Wagner too at the
okay,
end,
there you go.
And we're good.
Done. We'll talk. Thanks say for coming less. In, Bobby.
Appreciate it.
It's great to see you in person.
Thank
and
you.
Welcome.
Likewise.
Welcome home.
Likewise.
Welcome
appreciate
home.
It. Thank you.
Bobby Wagner of the Los Angeles Rams right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, where we've been trying to give verbal hugs to TJ Jefferson, Dallas Cowboy fan, the fact that Bobby Wagner's here in Los Angeles, not the Dallas Cowboys. And he even knew the schedule, that the Cowboys were on the Rams' schedule. So I turned to my Los Angeles Rams season ticket holders.
Big fans over there, those two. Okay. Big
nice,
fans.
Mike.
Now,
nice.
You
that's
understand you understand that Del Tufo considers himself a better season ticket holder than you.
Because he has paid more.
Yeah, because he has more discretionary income.
I paid more. Seats, I paid more. I invested in the team.
But I went to more games.
Doesn't matter. I work on Sundays. You don't. I would go to every game if I were off on Sundays.
Would you know? 100%. You choose to work on Sundays.
100%. I went to the games I could attend.
Well, I knew pitting the two of you off like that would be just for my own enjoyment. Are you not entertained?
I am. Rockman is a kid. I get it.
I feel like the Night King just sort of like raising my hands at you. Okay.
I love football.
So which one of you two guys...
Yeah, which one?
We'll take TJ to the Rams Cowboys game.
Oh, okay.
As your guest.
I said I would take TJ, but if he dresses like an idiot, he's definitely not going to.
What does mean to dress like an idiot?
I saw the way he dressed at the last Dallas game.
What is that? What is dressing like an idiot?
For him.
I had a jersey on.
Okay. No.
And I may have had this flag tied around my neck. Did I have a Cowboy Lucha Libre wrestling mask on? Maybe.
Yeah. You had a wrestling mask?
Maybe.
Show them the picture. You got to send the picture.
And did I have...
I didn't know that. Yes.
Hold on. You came with... Did you go with him to the playoff game or with me?
I didn't go with... No. This was the regular season game. This is when Dallas first opened
The first game.
Yeah. So the preceason
game.
Coliseum.
That's right. When the Rams returned to Los Angeles.
Yeah. Oh, no, I take it back. That outfit was the playoff game.
Yeah, it was the playoff game. So I was with you on the train ride afterwards after they lost.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. We did go together.
Yeah, you went with me.
I forgot about that.
You went with me to the playoff game.
Yeah, so Brockman got to see.
Yeah.
So you,
it's outrageous.
Yeah. If he dresses like that, there's no.
So that's like an idiot.
Yeah.
Why? Because it reflects on you?
Yeah. It's like, you're coming to my Rams people around
me. Exactly. He's worried about who he sits next to.
Oh, yeah, it's Los Angeles.
Like the Taron Killam, Rams fan.
Like a couple seats down.
You know what I mean?
They're all like, why'd you do it, Mike?
Hey, I know how to act in public.
So you're going to be the one to take him to the Cowboys game?
Sure. I mean, if you mind sitting on the 300 level.
Would you dress it similarly to go to that game?
Like I did for the playoff game?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
So like it is going to apply.
But here's the thing, Rich. Depending on when this game is in the schedule, we might get 2-10-2 teams going against each other. We're talking about 4, 5, 6 X on the secondary market. Are you willing to pay?
To sell your tickets on the secondary ticket market, a Cowboy fan's going to get it. Why would you do that to your hometown team?
They still won the Super Bowl with fans coming. That's the way I look at it.
True, Mike.
It's time. It's time for you guys to show up and show out. And if you want to bring a fan, you bring your top notch friend over there. Yeah.
Here's
one
the deal,
of your
though.
Besties.
For as much as I talk
despite
about Dallas,
the Nacho Libre mask you wear.
For as much as I talk about the Cowboys here, you would assume, and I tweet about them, you assume that maybe I get a follow from the Cowboys. I don't. You would assume that maybe somebody in the organization.
Don't do that. Don't
follow us.
You're better than that. I'm better than that.
I'm not better than that, actually.
You don't need a Cowboy. You don't need somebody who's in charge. Like, you think Jerry Jones has a list in front of him? Like, we're going to give the blue check mark today.
He could.
Like, he's in charge of giving. It's like some millennial. That's
you always say that about millennials, and yet it's me and Brockman that do ours, and we're not millennials.
It's the Cowboys version of you. Complaining about the YouTube comments and not dispensing blue check marks like you think Troy Aikman's the one who bestowed it on you. It's not that way.
We know
it works.
Jerry controls everything with Dallas. Like, come on. We know that.
Kevin O'Connell, formerly of the Rams, now the Vikings, hour two coming up.
I'm just saying. All right.
What are you saying?
I don't even know at this point anymore. Yeah, I'm a little upset about that.
Dude, I'm
a little upset about it.
Hold on a second. Let me just flip it, because who are the Dallas Cowboys of Major League Baseball?
The Yankees.
Yankees.
Okay.
Who are worth more now?
Who pounds a table for the New York Yankees nationally, coast to coast?
Oh, are we saying the Yankees don't follow you?
No. They don't.
Interesting.
Are you sure? You got a lot of followers. They, you know.
Let me check it right now.
You have a ton of followers.
They don't, and I don't care. I don't care. Why do I need the Yankees to follow me?
All right, I'm looking. The Dallas Cowboys only follow 282 people.
Yeah, of course, they're not going to follow T.J. Jefferson.
They follow J.R. Smith.
It's probably like, oh.
See? I don't know.
Why would they follow J.R. Smith?
I think he's a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, Yankees don't follow me. They follow 334 people, a bunch of baseball people, which I used to be. They follow A-Rod because why not? He's such he's such a great Yankee.
I'm looking right now.
Hey, last Yankee to win a World Series.
Well, if they follow Joey Gallo, of course they follow. They follow their own, you know, Michael Kay.
Look, of course they follow their own players.
They follow the Knicks because why, you know, why not? Who else do they follow?
No, I'm looking into Dallas.
Wandy Peralta?
All you ever see are people getting hyped when somebody follows them on Twitter, right? I just want to be one of those people who gets excited.
Yeah. That's follow J-Lo.
I don't need
it's
that.
It's an exclusive group.
Yankees
though,
still
T-J.
Follow J-Lo.
I get it.
Do they really?
Yeah. It's just a dream, baby. It's just a dream.
Yep.
Has it not filtered up to them that they don't need to follow? I mean, although she's from the Bronx, right?
That's right. That's exactly why. She's from New York.
There you go.
That's a little...
All right, so the Cowboys follow Shaq and Grant Hill, obviously.
Well, they're diehard fans of the program.
And former son of a former player.
Yes.
Yeah. I have no problem with that.
Didn't Roger Staubach name Grant Hill? Right? Didn't he say that? He offered Grant as a name to his father?
Right about that.
The Yankees follow Avis Car Rental. He must be a spy.
Conor McGregor.
Oh, Conor McGregor's
now, what's
followed
he
by the Cowboys.
Do with
yep.
Come on.
The Yankees follow. Because
he went to the game
other...
that one time.
Dude, you've got to. Here's what we'll do. We'll get you.
The Yankees follow the Dallas Cowboys.
Because they're in business together.
Of course they do.
So what we'll do is we'll go to AT&T Stadium. We'll get you on the field.
Yeah.
We'll give you a football.
Last time that didn't work out well. Just
and
so
then
you know.
and then you'll wing it like you're throwing it with
pass.
Your feet.
Yeah.
And then they'll follow you. Then we'll take you to Brooklyn. You'll throw a trash can through a bus window, and then they'll follow you.
Ooh, Jermaine Dupri. Uh-oh.
There he is.
I'm just
Come
saying.
On, the Cowboys.
None of them teams follow me. None of them. Those. Not one.
None of them follow you.